Next on Sound Doctrine, see how God leads us in our walk, one step at a time.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Hey, great to be with you. This is Sound Doctrine. We've been spending quality time in Chapter 8 of the Book of Romans with Pastor Jeff Johnson. When you think of God, what pictures come to mind? Do you think of a strict rule giver, someone who's out to get you? Pastor Jeff will encourage us to think of God as our Abba Daddy, who loves us and wants to lead and guide us. That makes all the difference in how we relate to Him. Here's Pastor Jeff.
So we're all learning about how God leads us in our walks. I've found that it's definitely, you know, taking steps of faith, but it doesn't lead us by getting all the information first. He wants us to take the step. And I think He leads us one step at a time. I think He does it that way for a reason, because it has to be by faith. Without faith, we cannot please the Lord. So there needs to be steps of faith. You know, we take a step of faith when we receive the Lord. We take a step of faith when we seek to serve Him in a ministry. We're always taking steps of faith. That's okay, because God blesses those. And we need to see that's where it needs to be. There needs to be some little bit of fear, a little bit of not knowing what's going to happen. What's this mean if I do this? Well, I want to know more information. I need to know more about the Lord. Or I need this, and I need to know, where's this place that they want me to go? I don't know if I want to go there. What's the weather like? Is there any bugs? You know, and you know, we ask these questions. And the Lord's saying, hey, just get there. I'll show you why I want you there. See, that's one step at a time. Who did that? Well, in Genesis 24, verse 27, Eliezer, a beautiful type of the Holy Spirit, he went forth and he took a step. And he was told to go find a wife for Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham being God and a beautiful type of God, sent Eliezer 500 miles away. So Eliezer said, okay. And he went, that's a first step, 500 miles. But when he got there, then the Lord opened the next door and led him to the very house and to the very girl that his Lord was going to marry, Rebekah. I mean, it was a setup by God. And God leads us that way. Look at Philip. Beautiful ministry in Samaria, healings, salvations, everything going on there in Acts chapter 8. And all of a sudden, God comes to him and says, I want you to go to Gaza. To who? To Gaza. Well, there's nothing there but dirt, desert, sand. I mean, he didn't question. He didn't say, what for? Why? You know, he didn't go through that whole thing. He just went, okay, Lord. And he just went to Gaza. When he got to Gaza, what happened? Then he hears a chariot coming by. And there is the Ethiopian eunuch coming by, reading the scripture. He jumps in, shares with him. That's what the Lord told him. Now, here's your next assignment. Jump in with this guy. Oh, yeah? He didn't question that. He just jumped in with him. What are you reading? And he led him to the Lord. That guy went back to Ethiopia, and tradition says that a huge revival broke loose in Ethiopia. For one person, God left a busy ministry in Samaria with everything going good, and he brought Philip to one guy. See, that's what God does when He leads us. You never know why or what He's got up His sleeve, what He's doing. But we need to take those steps. Paul, as he was seeking to be used of the Lord there in Acts chapter 16, it talks about in verse 10 how he tried to go here. The Spirit suffered him not, stopped him. Another place he tried to go to, and it says that the Spirit forbade him to go. And I believe that the reason for that is he got sick. He couldn't go. He was sicker than a dog. He had malaria. And he was kicking back there, and God began to minister to him. And as he was laying there, he got this vision of a guy in Macedonia that was calling for them to come to him. And that's where God wanted him to go. So, you see, Paul was trying, and the Lord was shutting doors. Hey, guys, shut doors, they're awesome. You said, I took a step and the door shut. Oh, good. Try another one. And that's what God does in leading us, that we try a door, it shuts, you go to another door. That's why when you're looking in your bulletin, you're saying, what can I do? Well, I can try the Sunday school. Well, try it. Well, then you go there and you stand in front of the kids and you go, God, I think God shut the door on that one. So I'm going to try the nursery. I think I can minister to those little ones. You know what I'm saying? And he shuts doors, but then he opens the door and you find your niche. You find your place of serving the Lord, and you're so blessed in doing that. Because God is guiding, and Paul finally heard that voice, and immediately, steadfastly, they went. They endeavored to go. And they went, and oh, God opened the doors and poured out his spirit. There's Jonathan in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel 14:11. Jonathan gets with his armor bearer, and he goes, you know those Philistines, we gotta see what God, let's see what God will do. Because I believe that God can wipe these Philistines out with many or with a few. So he took his armor bearer and went up, and God gave them supernatural strength, and they took over the whole garrison. I mean, it was incredible. Let's just see what God will do, taking a step of faith, God opening the door, doing great things. So he's leading us by his Spirit. This is what the book of Acts is all about, the Spirit leading and the Spirit empowering us. And I have to say that that's, you know, very important for each and every one of us, that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about the Lord leading us by an audible voice. I have never heard God speak to me in an audible voice. I've never heard it. I wouldn't even know what it was, But I have heard in a Bible study someone teaching, and I felt that that was the word of God to me. I have had an impression by the Spirit in my own heart, and it was just impressed on my heart to do this or to do that. And I know that as I look into the Word and the Word confirms it, then I know it's of him. And I think we need to bounce everything off, make sure it's according to the Word. This one guy said, you know, he was a captain of a big ship, and he was going into the harbor, and both sides were full of rocks, and it was, the waves were huge. The fog entered in, and people were panicking. The captain said, listen, you guys, listen, I've got this all lined up. You see those three lights way down there? They said, yeah, we can see those lights, but that's all we can see. He said, well, what I do is just line all three of them up, and when they're all lined up, I know I've got a safe route in. So what do we need to do? We need to line up what we do with the Word of God. That's the first light. Is it in God's Word? Is God affirming it in your heart with his Word? That's important. And then, does his Spirit bear witness with your spirit? I mean, do you have a peace about what you're about to do? That's number two light. And you got the peace, and the Lord's just affirmed it in your heart. And then the final thing is the circumstance. All of a sudden, the lights line up, and you just go, that's it, I'm going in. And that's when we should go in. I like what St. Augustine said. St. Augustine said, man, just love the Lord with all of your being, and then go do what you want to do. Just go do whatever you want to do. If you love the Lord with all your being, then you're going to do the will of the Lord. You're going to be led of the Lord. It's just all going to fall into place. I think that's the simplest direction of all, huh? Remember the scripture we read this morning out of Psalm 37, verse 4? Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Just go for it. Make him Lord of your life, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He will bless you to no end. I like also Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. I love you, and I want to draw you, and I'm going to draw you as you give your life to me in loving kindness, and you're going to experience the blessings of the Lord. Now, the proof that we're Christians is not that we're here in church today, your profession, my profession. That doesn't prove anything. Do you know that there's a lot of people that are in church that aren't Christians? You know, it's like going to McDonald's and saying you're a hamburger. No, I don't think so. It doesn't make you a hamburger. It's not even going to go near that, you know. But going to church is going to make me a Christian, you know. And no, it's not gonna. Jesus will. But you have to have an encounter with him, a relationship with him. Over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus is saying this. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You see, it's about doing. It's about doing his will. It's about loving him, seeking after him. And all these things will be added unto you. It's in receiving Christ. Remember verse 9 of Romans chapter 8? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If the Spirit of Christ is not in you, you are not God's. You're somebody else's. That's important, isn't it? That you know him, that you've received him. And then, here's a way you can find out if you're a Christian. I mean, there's little tests throughout the Bible, but in 1 John 3:14 says that if you love the brethren, you know, you have gone from death to life. But if you don't love your brother, the love of the Father is not in you.
Wow.
So you can check out your relationship with God by how you love your brothers and sisters, and some of them can be very unlovely. Big test. They can just really stab you in the back, you know, type of thing. And then you just turn around and love them? Well, that's what he said. That's the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And that's such a witness. So we need to be led by the Spirit. It takes steps of faith, having fruit in our lives. And then look at verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So his Spirit gives us, or guides us, excuse me, into a place of safety and security. It's a place of relationship. Now, Israel lived with God, and they surrounded themselves and put themselves around God, but they had a distant relationship. They were in bondage. Why? Because their flesh was ruling in their lives. And you follow through the Old Testament, and you can see, especially in Judges. every man did that which was right in their own eyes, and they were all messed up. And they would go from bondage and cry out, and then God would save them. And then they'd go through it again and backslide, and then cry out, and God would save them. And it was just one thing after another. It was all flesh. But no, not with us. Now, because of Jesus Christ, we have this intimacy that we can enter in a close relationship, not a religion, a close relationship with our Father. The word is, in the Hebrew, Abba. You go into the marketplace in Israel, and you can hear the little kids running around, Abba, 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 you know, and they're just, Daddy, 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 and they're trying to find their dad or going after him, you know. It's a great thing to hear, because here it is in our scripture this morning, Abba, Father, Daddy. And that's an intimacy that we get to have with God the Father. He's not Almighty God. You know, some people pray that way. Almighty God, you know. Whoa. You know, I would say that's a distant relationship, but you know, and Jesus had a relationship where he said, and Father, I thank you so much for not revealing these things to the wise and prudent, but to babes, to those that are simple, to those that are really seeking. And he said, Father, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen what? The Father. That's why we need to learn of Jesus. That's why we need to mark our Bibles. That's why we need to learn all about him. Because the more closer you get to him, the closer you are to your Father, your Daddy, your Abba. And the more you can call out to your Abba and say, Abba, I need you. And he's right there. I love this thing about heirs. He says, in verse 15 there, he says, you have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So his Spirit now is bringing us into this unique relationship with the Father, but his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. He's always constantly uplifting us, telling us this, showing us this, wanting us to walk in this fact that I'm a child of God. And that still small voice that comes to our ears is the Spirit speaking. And then there's that scripture in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Listen to this. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. So we know that he abides in us by his Spirit that's bringing it up to us constantly. I'm never alone. I like that song. You're never alone. You're never alone. His Spirit is there to comfort us, to bring these truths to us, to share with us the love of our Father. So He guides us. He assures us. We're family forever, aren't we? Because we have received Him. We are a child of God. And because we have received Him, there is automatically fruit coming out of our lives. I don't sit here and go and try to pop out fruit in my lives. Have you ever seen a tree do that? You know, fruit, come, you know, and it, you know, that's not how you do it. You know how the tree does it? It's rooted, it's grounded. And because it's rooted and grounded, it has everything that is needed for fruit just to come forth, right? It's a work of the Spirit. It's a work of the Lord in our lives. Isn't it neat? He does it all. He does everything. And it's to God be the glory because He's working in us and through us. It's not me mustering up anything, trying to pop anything out, trying to strive in the flesh, you know. It has nothing to do with it. He's causing the fruit to come out. And finally, I'm going to end with verse 17. He says, and if we're children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Wow. That right there is a whole lot to take in. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Paul said something interesting in Philippians 3:10. He said, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. We're all going, yeah, the power of His resurrection. But then he goes, and the fellowship of His suffering. No thanks. The power part is what I want, man. I don't want the suffering part. But you better put that in there. Why? Because we need to understand if they hated Him, they're going to hate us. If He suffered, we're going to suffer. That's just part of being in this world. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But hey, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So our blessing of the Spirit and a fellowship in the Spirit is we're heirs. The best is yet to come, someone said. And I believe that. It's coming. That whole thing of eternal life, everlasting life, that term, a lot of people think, well, that's just for way down the road and you're going to live forever and all that stuff. That's for then. But wait a minute. If you look into that word in the Greek, it means eternal life in the now also. In other words, it's for now. It's a quality of life for now. How many of you needed a quality of life when you were in the gutter and cried out to the Lord? I mean, every one of us. We had no quality of life. We were destitute. We were bankrupt. We were in the gutter. That's when we woke up because we came to the end of ourselves. And that's where God's waiting. And maybe some of you are there this morning. You're at the end of trying to finagle and figure it all out, you know, and you're tired of leaning to your own understanding and you're just frustrated. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Well, the Lord says, you come. I want to give you rest for your soul. I want to replenish your life. I want to infuse into you the Spirit life. I want you to live like you've never lived before. I want to give you a life that's more abundantly. Will you let me do that? I can do that. Jesus said, I can do that. And He can. He rose again. And He went up to be with the Father. And He sent His Comforter to be with us. And if you will ask Him, He will make your life more abundantly. And you begin to understand what's going on. So, hey, part now, the rest later. And the scripture in Ephesians says it was sort of like we're on the layaway plan. God has saved us, but we're not totally redeemed yet. My spirit has been redeemed. My soul has been redeemed. I'm born again, but my body is still hanging around. My body's corrupt. My body is you know, it gets sick and it dies. It's on a bummer, you know, and it goes through that because it's not redeemed. But we've already gone through that to be absent of the body, present with the Lord with our new body. And He's got a body to give us that's eternally guaranteed. But what's neat about that is that the Lord says, I'm going to give you a little bit now, a taste of heaven, and then a whole bunch later. It's almost like they're in Genesis 24 with Rebecca. Remember how Eliezer, type of the Holy Spirit, gives Rebecca, type of the church, the jewelry. And expensive stuff. I mean, we're talking big honking rings and jewelry. And she just went, man, I'm rich, you know. And he goes, you ain't seen nothing yet. Get up on that camel, Rebecca. We're going to see Isaac. And then you're really going to see it, man. He's going to pour it on you like you've never been poured on to. She goes, oh, wow. All right, let's go. And it's a beautiful picture of us, the church, Rebecca, Jesus, you know, Isaac, and her coming home. One of these days, we're going to go home. And the Lord says, I can't wait to show you my glory. I can't wait to show you what it's going to be like. Oh, I'm going to give you a taste right now, though, okay? I'll just give you a glimpse. We see through a glass darkly, you know, and we see it. We know it because the Spirit brings it to our attention all the time that Jesus is coming. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, boom, the Lord's coming. The church is gone, and we're forever with the Lord. That's coming. And we have that just reminding us, the Spirit doing the work.
Pastor Jeff Johnson with Sound Doctrine from the book of Romans. Pastor Jeff will be right back. Well, you've got a few options if you would like to hear this study again. You can go to sounddoctrineradio.org, or you can download our free app and listen on your mobile device. Search for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store, or get it on Google Play. And you can also call and request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5 at 800-353-7553. Again, 800-353-7553. Whether it's at the family dinner table or you're seated next to a total stranger on an airplane, we have opportunities left and right to share the gospel. But do you know what to say? Do you know how to say it? That is where many Christians struggle. So we'd like to get a helpful little pamphlet into your hands that gives you 24 ways to explain the gospel. It fits nicely into most Bibles. Simply ask for 24 ways to explain the gospel when you call us at 800-353-7553. Or you can request this special resource online at sounddoctrineradio.org. It's just $4 for a limited time. And if you can include a little extra, that would be most appreciated. It'll serve to help us continue this radio ministry on this great station of yours and others like it. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. All right, let's get back into Romans chapter 8 for a minute or two.
And then he says, finally, if so be that we suffer with him, we'll be glorified together. I was looking in Hebrews in chapter 11. Interesting, Moses. Moses was an interesting character in that he had it made in Egypt. We know the Prince of Egypt. We've seen it cartoon-wise. And was the guy that made the big one? Cecil B. DeMille, I guess, or something. I mean, huge, unbelievable. Moses. I mean, he raised in Egypt, riches of Egypt, and he got down with the people of God in the mud? Here's what it says, Hebrews 11, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, when I say this, I'm not saying we're going to, you know, suffer affliction as far as the physical stuff. Hey, it's a mental war right now. It's a social battle. It's a political battle. It's on every arena right now. And yes, we're not getting it physically like some of our brothers and sisters across the globe who are suffering for Jesus. I mean, literally bleeding. They're pulling their eyes out. They're burning them. They're throwing acid in their face. And it goes on and on and on, the things that they're doing to them. But that's in other parts of the world. We should thank God for where we live. At least this place has got some sort of decency. We're losing it quick. And the police have just a handle on it right now. And it's almost getting away from them. But thank God we're not getting it in the physical way. But man, we're getting the pressure in every other way. Now we have it economically, right? And so the pressure is on. And he says, hey, this is suffering the reproach. Hey, we're going to go through some stuff. It could get worse. We could start bleeding for the Lord. It could get persecution, all full-on outward persecution. But we will suffer. We will suffer some reproach. Goes on to say in verse 26 of Hebrews 11, esteeming the reproach of Christ, the suffering, the persecution, they hated him, they crucified him, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Moses said, you know what? Gold, all the treasures of Egypt is worth nothing compared to walking with my God. It says he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, he had a vision of what God was going to do. And he says, I'm with God's people, man. And you guys have decided to do that. Look where you're at today. It's not to get brownie points. You're not here, you know, putting in your time card. No, you're here because you want to be with God's people. You want to worship with God's people. You want to grow in His grace and in His knowledge. You want to be filled with the Spirit. And that's the great thing about this gathering this morning.
We're talking about growing pains on the next Sound Doctrine as Pastor Jeff deep dives in Romans chapter 8. Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff is presented by Calvary Chapel Downey. So Father, won't you